So why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. But they asked, as they came to the sepulchre, they came to the burying place, expecting to see Jesus, expecting to anoint his body. And these angels say to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, there's a lot that separates Christianity from every false religion that's out there. Let me just say, if it's not Bible Christianity, it's false. Amen. Okay, I make no apology for that whatsoever. If somebody wants to believe and practice something else, then by God, go ahead and do it. You have the liberty to do that. God has given you the right to do that. You can choose Him or you can reject Him. You can believe whatever you want as long as it doesn't stop me from believing what I want to. Amen. But they're wrong. They're wrong. Amen, they're wrong. What sets Christianity apart from everything else that's out there? The number one thing that sets it apart is that we do not serve a dead Savior. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. He's alive forevermore, the Bible says. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Says the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So everybody in these false religions, God says, I winked at that for a moment. He says, but now I command all men everywhere to repent. This is the hope that sets apart what we believe. This is how we can have hope no matter what's going on, no matter what trial we're facing. As the child of God, even Job, as you look at everything that Job went through, if you've ever read through the book of Job, I'd encourage you to do that. Read through the book of Job. He lost everything. Do you know God allowed first for all of his money to be taken? Every material possession basically that he owned was taken in one day. Just like that, it was gone. Gone. And then immediately after that, they come in and tell him, your children are all dead. All of them. Dead. Go with me real quick to Job. I just want you to see the statement here. Job chapter 1. After Job finds out this horrible news, it's going to be towards the end of Job. So if you find Job chapter 2, just look up a bit. It's where we're going to end up being. He gets the news that thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Verse 18, now verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. This is Job chapter 1, and now verse 20. So Job hears all this news. He lost everything that he's ever had, material-wise, possession-wise. And then he hears news that all 10 of his children are dead. Just in one day, one instance. Look what it says of Job. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshipped. Boy, I wish I could say that would be my response to something like that, but I don't know if I could. But he fell down and worshipped and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. See, we need some help to where we're not so focused on the material things of this world. And Job was a filthy rich man. But he wasn't ungodly. He was a righteous man. He was perfect, as the Bible says. And not to say he was sinless, but he was the best God had at the time. God recommended him to Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job? And what amazes me in that is when God tells Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan knew all about him already. Satan already had considered him. And he said, well, the only reason he won't curse you is because you're protecting him. You've given all this stuff. But Job had all this stuff. He had everything. But he recognized he had his eyes on what really mattered. He had his eyes on what was eternal and where the real focus in all of our lives needs to be. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. He said, everything I had, I came with nothing. I'll die with nothing. Boy, if we could remember that and stop chasing the American dream and start seeking first the kingdom of God, it would help all of us. Just to get our eyes on what really matters, what's really important. Naked shall I return thither. And then get this, the Lord gave, verse 21. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Should God's still blessed. His name's still blessed. Even though all this tragedy has come to me, he's still able to praise God. And that's really where we need to be, no matter what circumstance comes, no matter what we may face, no matter what it's like with our family as they're lost, as they may be dying, as we lose a job, as we lose a child even. You know, the close, we've lost two children through miscarriage. And some would say that's not really the same. I beg to differ. It hurts. I didn't think it would, especially being the man, but it hurts. And in all that, God is still just and God still does right and God still loves us. And we can stand here and say that because of the hope of the resurrection. Because we serve a living Savior. Because the God we serve is not dead. See, the apostles and those that followed Christ, their hearts were troubled. They were sad because the Messiah had died. And they didn't quite get that he was going to be resurrected, that he was going to come back to life. They still didn't even believe it. They doubted. And you got doubting Thomas. They doubted it. Because of that, their hearts were troubled. But once they knew that there was a risen Savior, that he was alive, that he had victory over death, just like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the victory comes from. We're already on the winning side. Amen. We're already on the winning side. We're victors already in Christ. Now it's just, hey, just run the race that's put before you. You've already crossed the finish line. You've already won, is what God's saying, but just run the race that's put before you. Don't let things sidetrack you. Don't let the sins and weights of this world hold you down and pull you down. Just keep serving Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what we need to do. And we can do that because we have the hope of the resurrection. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if the dead rise not, then we're of all men most miserable. What are we doing? We're just following a false religion if the dead rise not. But thank God our Savior's alive. Thank God there were over 500 witnesses at one time that saw Him alive. 500. That'll hold up in any court of law, I'm telling you right now. And people that don't want to even look at the Bible, it's because they're afraid that if they come and look at it, then they're going to be accountable to the Word of God. Amen. Guess what? Whether they look at it or not, they're accountable to the Word of God. And we should have confidence in the faith that we live, the faith that we believe. This book, you can stand on this. You can build your life on this. Amen. We have confidence in the Word of God because it's proven itself over and over. Over and over. And this is our hope. This is what can bring us joy when we're going through trials. When awful circumstances happen in our life, we can have joy because, hey, we're on the winning side. We've got a risen Savior. At the end of it all, one day I'm going to get to see my Savior face to face. Hey, man, I can stand here confident and say that. And it's not because I'm anything good. I'm a miserable wretch. Honestly, I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve my sins forgiven. But thank God I have a loving Savior that died in my place to give me eternal life, to give me His righteousness. Because of what He did, because of His victory over death and sin, I can one day be with Him. And I can one day see Him face to face and bow before Him. Man, I'd have loved to be those two men on the road to Emmaus. And just as He opened up the Scriptures, they said, did not our heart burn within us as He spoke to us? As He opened the Scriptures, oh man, I can't wait to sit at Jesus' feet and have Him teach us the Bible. Man, that's going to be an amazing day. Praise God. I cannot wait for that. He's like, you guys got this part all wrong. Let me help you here. Amen. I'm glad. I'm looking forward to that day. That's going to be good. I can't wait for that day. God loves us. We're so blessed. We look at the martyrs and what they went through. The stands that they took, we look at them every Sunday morning. Many of them didn't even have a copy of the Bible. Think, how would you live your Christian life without a copy of His Word? But man, they loved Him and they were willing to die for Him, for His cause. That He's the one true God. They wouldn't bow to any other. They were willing to die for that. And can we just be willing to live for it? To live for it. To live for Him. We have the freedoms. We have the liberties. We can go evangelize in this nation. And it's not illegal. We don't have to do it in secret. Some people might not like it, but we don't have to do it in secret. We can. And I thank God that we are an evangelistic church. We're a soul-winning church. We go to reach people with the gospel week in and week out. As a church, and then in our own individual lives, we go and do that. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for the liberties we have in this country. But if we want to keep those liberties, I believe with all of my heart, we have got to see more churches started. We have to see more churches started. Because that's going to make disciples and that's going to change the hearts. That's what can turn this nation around. That's what we need. We need a revival of church planting. And you all know that because I preach it all the time. That's why we're starting another church. That's why we're going to the war zone. You know, before any of the reports came out that the war zone was the most dangerous neighborhood in Albuquerque, and I just saw the survey they did of the most dangerous cities in the nation, and Albuquerque, I think, was number one for property crimes and number three for violent crimes. And then the most dangerous area and all of that is the war zone, and that's right where God put us. Before I ever knew any of that, God had laid it on my heart. This is where we're going. We're going to the war zone, and God gave us a building to meet in now. Praise God for that, and we're getting ready to go there. Man, we're just praying God prepares those hearts. See, that's what can change that whole area. That's what can turn that whole area around. And we just want more of that. We want more churches started. And if we do that, we can preserve the liberties we have to be able to do that. And hey, if the liberties are gone, guess what? We're going to do it anyway.
Amen.
We're going to keep doing it. And I thank God we have the liberties. Amen. But we're blessed to live in this nation. It's not like that everywhere. God's good to us. We got to praise Him and rejoice in what He's done for us, what He allows us to do. We have a mighty, mighty good Savior. Let's go ahead and close in prayer.